get out to the Banner Brothers hotline and bring in Aaron Gordon from USO Sports. Aaron, how you living?
I'm living great. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man. It's great to have you on again to give us some updates. Aaron, you know, I don't know if I introduced you properly. I said you are with USO Sports. You are actually the owner of USO Sports, but what's your title there at USO?
Owner, president, CEO. I'm just a one-man show.
You do it all, brother. You do it all. Who are you repping right now? Players that BYU fans might know.
Yeah, so I'm repping Yona Pritchard and Josh Quezada. I don't know if you guys remember Stan Meredith. He was recruited heavily by BYU and UCLA, Stanford, but he ended up playing for San Diego State. But he just signed a deal with the Falcons today. Wona Kavenga, you might have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Yosefa, he doesn't advertise to BYU other than family. He's Samoan from Hawaii.
No, I remember BYU played against Joey, and actually Joey was a phenomenal running back at Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So you're repping a couple of guys, some that had attended BYU, went on to greener pastures. Let's talk about those two players to start off. Yona Pritchard transferred from BYU to Oregon State, ended up playing, I think, some special teams there. Tell us how he did in the pro day, and is he getting any love from teams right now?
Yeah, Yona actually did pretty solid at pro day. He had above average numbers. He jumped a 40-inch vertical.
Wow.
That impressed some scouts alone. So I got some teams interested based on that. But he wasn't getting a lot of love as far as invites to camp or anything like that. There were a handful of teams that had him on the short list or the hot list, so you'd say. But he didn't get an official invite. No, but there's still some teams that are telling me that he's on the short list. So.
Wow, 40-inch vertical, that's a lead if I've ever heard. I mean, especially with how much he weighs. He probably weighed, what, 220 going into the pro day?
235.
40-inch vertical, that's explosive, man. I'm surprised he didn't – I mean, what was his 40 time?
His 40 time was – I can't remember. I think it was between a 4.82 and 4.91.
That's incredible that he jumped that high. I mean – I don't know how someone that explosive doesn't run a faster 40. It might have been his start or it might have been kind of his top-end speed, whatever it was. I'm surprised. Tell me about Josh Quezada. Josh Quezada, a very interesting story. Before he came out to BYU, ended up chopping off his beautiful locks of hair. Arrived at BYU, he expected to be the guy, but it just didn't work out how he had expected it, but went on to... As we've talked about greener pastures, he ended up at what, Fresno?
Fresno State, yeah. I think you're right. Once he chopped off the locks, he kind of lost all his power. but he did really well at Fresno State. He put up good numbers and had a lot of production. He started for 2 years, and a lot of the West Coast scouts got to know him. They really liked him. They had talked to him. So 5'11", and then not incredibly fast, really hurt him. But I mean, he's a guy that had a lot of production, so he was, you know, he's hoping to get an invite to camp. He's another guy. He didn't get any, wasn't getting much love from NFL teams. There were, again, just a few teams that were reciprocating a little bit, and unfortunately didn't get an invite to camp. But we're still actively contacting teams right now to see if there's any kind of chance. There's really only a couple teams that said he's on the short list, but he's still optimistic. He's training. He's in the best shape of his life, and he's still holding on to the faith that something's going to happen for him. So whether he ends up playing or getting a shot at the NFL, if not, he's open to arena or CFL, but he's confident he'll be playing somewhere this fall.
You're also repping, I believe, VJ Fajoko, who started off at the University of Utah, ended up at Texas Tech, really good athlete. Also cousins to Simi Fajoko. What's going on with VJ? And then I also want to see if you have any info on Simi and where he's leaning to right now during the recruiting process.
Yeah, VJ, I don't know why I keep ending up with these transfer guys. From Utah to Texas Tech.
Maybe you were once upon a time a lost sheep as well, who went away from BYU, came back, was redeemed.
I think you're right. No, but VJ, another similar situation, kind of undersized, but the guy plays tremendous as far as, like, heart. I've never seen anyone more mentally prepared when it comes to game preparation, preparation for practices and for pro day and stuff like that. This guy is just incredibly mentally disciplined and physically as well. But he was picked up by the Browns on a tryout basis, went to Cleveland this past weekend, had an incredible camp. They absolutely loved him. Again, just came down to numbers. They weren't able to work that a deal yet. He's on the short list where if something were to happen, they'd sign him to a deal is what I've been told. But he's still working hard and optimistic that something will work out. There's also a couple of NFL teams this week that are having their rookie mini camps, and a couple of them said that they're going to get back shortly to see if they can't squeeze them in there. So we'll see what happens with VJ.
Aaron Gordon, former BYU defensive back and owner of Uso Sports, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Last but not least, the guy that I really want to talk to you about and have a lot of questions regarding is Uona Kavenga, a guy that came out in 12 class, still sticking around because of his elite athleticism. He is a little bit undersized, a little bit shorter than I'm sure some of the NFL teams would like, but had a tremendous pro day, ran one of the best 40s I've ever seen from a guy his size, extremely explosive. What are teams saying about Uona, and how did his pro day change maybe his outlook on his future in the NFL?
Yeah, I think just his preparation leading up to pro day basically got him another shot. A lot of people wrote him off since he took the year off from football, and you know, when you're out of football for a year, it's extremely difficult to end up in the NFL, let alone even get a tryout or anything like that. But him bursting onto the scene with that pro day, he ran a 4.48 40, and then he also put up the bench press 32 times. I mean, he's incredibly strong, and everything he did was above average, and that really opened some eyes. So I actually got calls from four or five teams that were looking at him, specifically the Packers, and they called first wanting to bring him in. Then I actually got a call from two other teams wanting to invite him in on a tryout basis, but he ended up going to Green Bay this past weekend. And again, another guy that rocked the tryout basis, and I heard from Elliot Wolf, who's the player personnel director of the Packers, that he was more impressed than he was expecting from Uona. Again, another undersized linebacker, but plays bigger than his physical capacities. His only knock on him was he ran with some squareness. I don't know what that means, but he said that once he got going, he played really fast, made a lot of plays, really made only a few mental errors, but where a lot of these guys were coming in like deer in headlights and making errors and screwing up plays left and right, Uona came in with a lot more confidence, having gone through camp with the Broncos previously and just kind of having gone through the gauntlet. He came in a lot more comfortable, and he played really well and had some good practices over the weekend, and the coaches are really impressed. Again, it came down to numbers. They didn't sign him into a deal, but again, they have him high up on the list to bring him back if something were to happen.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, I'm disappointed that he didn't get a contract, obviously. I would have loved to see. I mean, when you see that athleticism and you see that that potential. Look, I mean, he was recruited by some of the best schools in the nation, right? I mean, he went to USC as a linebacker, coached by, I believe at that time, Ken Norton. For those of you that don't know who Ken Norton is, one of the best linebackers they ever played in the NFL for the San Francisco 49ers and other teams, I believe. So, I mean, that's who got him to USC. Finally,
he's the D coordinator for the Raiders.
Really? And did he get any? Did you get any calls from the Raiders regarding Uona?
Actually, no, we didn't.
Ken.
Them regarding Uona, but I've tried reaching out to them, didn't hear back from them, unfortunately. But he's optimistic. I mean, he's another guy that's in the best shape of his life, and that he showed it at Pro Day. And again, the Packers were extremely impressed. In the meantime, there's been a couple arena teams and CFL teams reach out to me, wanting him to come play, but he wants to shakes out first with some of these NFL teams.
Aaron, what do you think about the NFL as it weighs potential for some of these guys? It seems to me that a lot of times they put too much emphasis on numbers and on specs, on 40 times and all those numbers they put up instead of the actual productivity on the field. How do you weigh those things when you're talking to NFL scouts and teams and try to push your guys so they give them opportunity?
Well, when they're higher or when they're the first, second, third round guys, like it doesn't make that big of a difference. I mean, it may or may not, but like with guys that are fringe players that are, on short lists and guys that are struggling to make it and just trying to get an opportunity and guys that might get drafted in the seventh round or go to an undrafted free agent, it can make all the difference in the world if you show up to a pro day. If you show up to pro day and you do slightly above average numbers, I mean, everybody's doing that. So really you're just average, right? But if you show up and you blow some numbers out of the water, like have an exceptional 40 or exceptional pro bench and show some good agility, then that's when scouts are going to, look at you. And that's when it makes a big difference and executives are going to take notice and you might earn your shot that way. And that's kind of what Wona and some of these other guys did, like Sky, able to go to Green Bay and get a shot up there because we did what he did at pro day. Everybody says it's a business. The NFL is a business and it's also the not for long league. Guys don't last very long, but it really comes down to, we could say production, but we all know it doesn't come down to production at the end of the day because you have guys like a Josh Quezada who has tremendous production at BYU and Fresno State over the course of 4 years, and he still hasn't gotten a shot yet. It's a different level. They're looking for a different type of athleticism and speed and on top of the production. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but you can't carry all the weight and just pro day numbers unless you're like a fringe guy and you come out and you do exceptionally above average numbers. So there's just a lot of factors involved.
How much do relationships with the college coaching staff and the relationships that they have with the NFL coaching staffs or the player personnel directors or the scouts play into a guy getting onto an NFL team, do you think?
I think it can have a pretty big impact because, obviously if coaches have NFL coaches or NFL player personnel have relationships with college coaches, they're going to like naturally gravitate and have more interest in their guys, especially if they come calling, if they come take a look at this guy or this guy and see what this guy can do, check out this guy, how he can swivel his hips and move this. And they'll, if they have a good relationship with him, they're going to come take a look at him, just like anything else in life. If that relationship is there and you have a strong network, and then people are going to take more interest and it makes a big difference. So it's like in sales, cold calling between, cold calling and, like warm leads or hot leads. It's just the way it is.
Aaron, we've been hearing some stories about the BYU coaches kind of going to bat for their players, Bronco Mendenhall and some of the other assistant coaches. Does it seem like that's more of an emphasis in the BYU coaching staff this last couple of years, maybe, or something that they're working on because of the perception that BYU players aren't drafted? They haven't been, a lot of them been drafted. Are they having to work harder to get the guys the opportunities, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. It seems like since more of the guys haven't gotten opportunities or haven't gotten drafted, I think, the coaching staff recognizes that and, they made big changes. Just going to this pro day at BYU, you can see a lot of the things that they were trying to do to market the players and get the scouts warmed up, and actually taking a look at the players that were there. And I think that since they recognize it, I feel like it's helped some of the scouts realize that BYU, they do have good players. They're there. They just need to, I don't know. Maybe they need to be marketed better somehow. And I think Bronco has done a better job of that this time around. And so some of the other coaches have noticed.
Aaron Gordon, owner of Uso Sports, on with us here at Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Another thing that we've debated back and forth is how does BYU, the coaching staff, these football players that have served missions, overcome the perception that the NFL has on these young men in signing them or drafting them more than even signing them because of the liability of age or perception that their bodies are breaking down, their testosterone's lower, their HGH no longer exists. You know what I mean? How does BYU and these young football players and agents overcome that? Or is there any strategy or formula that you've concocted that you think will work?
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, that is the biggest obstacle that BYU players are going to have is the age. Everybody knows that. It's hard to get around. Really, the best card you got to play is, well, hey, this guy is fresh. You know, he didn't play football for 2 years. That's minus 2 years off of, you know, so if the guy's 25 years old, you can basically count him as 23 because he didn't play football for 2 years because he was off serving a mission. I mean, that's basically all you can say. And then he maintained his kind of, he worked out, he conditioned, and he stayed away from injury. And that's basically it. Other than that, that's honestly the biggest obstacle to overcome. And I think guys that go to BYU just know that, and that's what they have to live with.
I like that argument. You know, it's not like they were out there like grinding their bodies. You know, I mean, you know, I guess the mission grind is tough, but you know, I think it's more mentally and physically fatiguing than it is like that actually physical. I don't know. My bike areas were pretty rough. I don't know about you, Gordo, but my bike area is pretty rough. But I mean, typically it's not like physically as demanding. As you would think, and as you've stated that, I mean, what has been the response to that whether you're talking to scouts, player personnel directors, or GMs?
I think you said it perfectly. Like, it's not like a physical grind when you're out there, like eating up your body and putting on the normal wear and tear of that football players do as they're going through the season and off season training. It's more of a mental thing. So if anything, you got to play it like it's mentally conditioned player in a positive way, that they're going to be more mature, they're going to be more comfortable, and that they're going to make better decisions, not only on the field, but off the field. And so player personnel and scouts from NFL teams, they like the fact that they know that they're getting high character guys from BYU and from LDS community that they're not going to have to worry about and babysit in general. So that's kind of the angle you got to take.
Aaron, as always, man, appreciate you coming on with us. He's the beep test champ. I don't know if you guys know this. Do you know that Aaron Gordon was a beep test champ? You guys don't even know what Zach, the intern's looking at me like I'm crazy. Darnell, you remember the beep test, right? No?
No.
You don't have
to. They didn't give that to us.
Oh, my
guys.
Goodness gracious. No, it's the conditioning test going into fall camp. Where, you know, at the time when we were playing, I think it was, 20 yards that we had to run back and forth with?
Yards,
or 20 yards? And so it was a timed beep. You had to get there. If you didn't get to the other line by the time it beeped, and you couldn't take off. You had to stay there. If it beeped, or if you got there before the beep, you had to stay there. You couldn't go, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you had to time it back and forth. You know, Aaron Gordon, he was the beep test champ,
beep
man. The beep master. Not only that, you're doing great things at USO Sports.
Indian blood.
What percentage Indian are you again?
I'm half. I grew up on the Indian reservation at Hualapai, Grand Canyon. You guys might have heard of the Skywalk, flat walkway that extends over the edge of the Grand Canyon. I think it's about 4,000 feet up. Anyway, so that's where I'm from, and my good buddies like Jake Caressa and Ben Criddle and all those guys used to not make fun. They used to say it's because I used to run the canyon growing up that I had that crazy, not athleticism, but more stamina than anybody else on the team.
No, you had good athleticism. You had great athleticism. I never said anything like that, but I did say that I did feel like the Hualapai Indian in you was a competitive advantage when it came to the beep test. You
That's
could just
true.
Go forever, brother.
That's true.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for the updates. We look forward to doing it again soon. Good luck to all the guys that you're representing. You're welcome.
Okay.
See ya.